It is 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast. It is 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is February 6, 2017, and this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today we are going to start and talk about what happened in Israel in the last week when they evacuate unknown owner territories, let's say unknown place where everybody was seems to know exactly what to do, but the only result was destruction. Then we're going to talk about the action that the U.S. government is going to take against Iran, or not taking against Iran, after they shoot the missile. And then we're going to analyze if it's really are they in violation of United Nations resolution or the Iran deal that they signed last year. We have more to say about what's going to happen in the Israeli Knesset tonight when they're going to sign on a law that establish a part of Israel, Area C, which is supposedly be a territory of Israel in the beginning. And then we maybe going to touch base and start thinking what really the border of Israel can look like. That will be a defensible border, it will be a normal border, and something that we can start talking about. Because I know that Benjamin Netanyahu does not have a plan about the borders in his midst. He just tried to work with the international arena as he sees it, because he'd been beaten and, worked hard so hard by the left wings here in Israel that sometimes you cannot see straight from all those smoke that they send in his face. But the truth of the matter is Israel is a sovereign nation, and it has its own right to feel comfortable in the boundaries of a territory. She has the right to defend itself. And if there is an area that is not declared anybody else, she has the right to proclaim it just for the reason of security. And nobody here in the world can blame Israel for trying. And you may say occupying, or you say it established or taken or whatever. Nobody in the world can actually blame Israel for trying to or doing her best to protect itself. And there are so many loopholes in all agreements that you always have a point where you can have a right or not. And we saw this in the last week in America, where the president decided that he's going to stop illegal immigrants or people that have no right to access from seven countries. And many people saying, those seven countries actually didn't produce any terrorists. Those others that really are free to come to America did. So what's the point? And the court decided that whatever resolution that the president took is not right, and it wasn't binding, so he dismissed it. And then the president of the United States decided to go against it again and to refuse him. You see, if anybody here will listen to anything that I would say about learning. Something you have to know, that learning, education, is the most important thing that you might have in life. If you're young, go and study law, international law, any kind of law, because what they do with the law in the world, they actually mishmash all what you have to say in kind of a corner and put it under, a box of resolution, and they can throw your case to the ocean. Whatever you have complained, they'll find an angle. That's when they said you're a good lawyer. It means that you know your stuff and you can get away with anything. And that's what happens with the court today. They actually are getting away with everything. And there are a few issues that you might be concerned of, said. And they were talking about the Constitution. And, you know, the only thing that, you know, whatever wins the court is always the Constitution. And I went to the Constitution, the American Constitution, to see what I can do to help this case, if it's really right. Because we really want to know who has the top decision making in America, right? And I'll tell you the story. When the election went in America, I went to my bookstore. You know, I'm a book lover that nobody's secrets. And I made a bet with the owner of the bookstore, actually with all the gang there that actually were challenging me. Oh, who's going to win the election? I said, no sweat. You know, Donald J. Trump is going to win. And they say to me, oh, you're going to put all your reliable sources and whatever and on the line and bet for him? I said, yeah, I'm going to bet for Donald Trump. And they say, what are we betting for? And I said, a book, of course. What are we betting on? And sure enough, I won. And I went to get the book. And I said, okay, now you're going to give me my book that I won. And you're going to write very nicely on top. I said, oh, too early, because you lost the bet. And I won. So sure enough, they choose which book you want. I said, do you have a book in Hebrew on the Constitution, on the American Constitution? Because sometimes it's really nice to have a book that you really need to understand in your own language. Not that translator actually get it better than you, but you want to hope to see a different dimension when you read it in a different language. And sure enough, he said, oh, yes, I have a Charles Ehrman Prince. It's the American Constitution, the Constitution, and all the explanation. And I said, sure. So today when they were talking about the deal about is the ban on incoming foreign to America, is a legit one or not? I went there and I was looking, and there was like a quote about the winner against America in 1958. That would talk about something very interesting that was actually relevant to Israel. You see, when you talk about jurisdiction, you have to understand that sometimes you don't have jurisdiction over stuff that we call. So right now I'm looking into it. I have one segment that will say that the president has the upper right, as far as I'm concerned, not because I bet for him, it's because I saw it there. And I found something else that I help actually in Israel. Okay, and I'll tell you that. And I'm going back to what happened in Israel this week. This week they evacuated a post that they call it illegal outpost, but it's a settlement that was in Judea and Samaria in the little place called Amona. Now they say that it was on a private property. 20 years that the people live there, the country, Israel, established their sewer, roads, traffic, you know, also they had to pay the rent, they paid the mortgage there, they had to pay taxes, everything like a normal city. All of a sudden, some of those properties are based on a private land. Now, think about the disputed area where the area the area of before 67 was Jordan, and before 47 was under the British mandate because it was Ottoman Turks. Think about a place where the only disputed land could be is if it's Jordanian, because if it was a war, the Jordanian used to live there. And if you say private ownership when you conquer in war, it's an oxymoron. It does not work. Now, I cannot even start telling you what reason people try to use and how they lost this case when it was so stupid. Because if you have a disputed territory, it means that nobody owns the land, period. Disputed, it means, doesn't mean it's yours, doesn't mean it's mine. If it's disputed, it means that you need negotiation. So until then, nobody should have any up right on the land, right? Nothing should change. Demographically, nothing should change. But the Israeli government did not know to make a case for against the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled to evacuate them. So I was going into this constitution book, and it was there was a clause about foreign owning private property in your land. And that was the winner against America, I guess. And they were saying that, if they pay taxes. And I was asking myself, now, who paid the taxes of that Amona? The answer that I just get from the Vice Minister of Defense. Nobody paid the taxes there. So all was politics. They evacuate and throw people from the land, and they all have no right to do so. And you know, God is almighty, and when you do wrong to people, it's not gonna be long before that this government is gonna go. That's my bet. Let's put some music, and after that we'll come with some Iran stories.
Someday, when I'm awfully low, when the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of.
All right, it's wonderful to start your day in America like this with the music calm and beautiful. And we are going, for the evening, so it's beautiful for us to listen to this. Thank you so much, Doug Newsom, for that. Let's keep on going. You know, there is a take care clause in the Constitution. A take care clause says the president shall take care of that the law be faithfully executed. It means that the president is supposedly have to take care of the law. It means, does it put it above the law, or just to make sure that it's in a good hands? So you guys, when you go against, somebody, at the end of the day, the law and justice need to be just and lawful. So I'm sure that there will be a lot of closure that will give the president the right to do what he did. And the ban, which was only for the time to safeguard the method that the people are entering America, not to eliminate them altogether, maybe it could be reestablished for the safeguard of America. But as they said, they put it now on the court case. It's whatever happened, it's their fault, they say. Anyway, let's go back. We have Iran sanctions that are at play. Let's listen to what actually happened.
The Trump administration has imposed sanctions on 25 individuals and entities that provide support to Iran's ballistic program after Iran conducted a ballistic missile test on Sunday. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer says the sanctions are part of the administration's continued effort to target Iran's ballistic missile program and terrorism-related activities.
Today's sanctions really represent a very, very strong stand against the actions that Iran has been taking and make it very clear that the deal that they struck previously was not in the best interest of this country, and that President Trump is going to do everything he can to make sure that Iran is stayed in check.
USA Today reports the sanctions don't impact the Iran nuclear deal. For Sequence Media News, thanks for watching.
All right. This was the first segment just to put Iran on notice. But we have some more. Let's listen to some more.
The EU, the European Union, reiterates its concern about Iran's missile program and calls upon Iran to refrain from activities which deepen mistrust, such as ballistic missile tests. The EU expects Iran to fulfill all of its obligations, international obligations, including UN Security Council Resolution 2231. The Iranian ballistic missile program was not part of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, hence the tests are not a violation to it. The tests are inconsistent with the resolution, UN Security Council Resolution 2231. Whether it constitutes a violation is for the Security Council to determine.
Anything else for the day? Yes, James, second go.
All right, so we have something else. We were talking about the fact that there is sanctions and there is no violation of the accords that they had with the Iranian, because they were talking about the nuclear base and whatever it was, but and it didn't include all the missiles. And sure enough, the United Nations was smart enough to, well, finally, to remind them that they have a resolution, a United Nations Security Council Resolution 2231, that was on the nuclear program of Iran, setting that a strict watching process on the schedules and performance. But it includes also a ban. Iran should not define the resolution 2231 through missile tests conducted since the deal was made. It means that there is a violation, exact violation of the deal. Because if there is a resolution saying that you are not, by any means, should ever test the missile to see if you can actually launch a missile with nuclear power on it, or whatever missile that can assume to be in that range of attack, it's a violation. So if anybody from those smart boys of the law in America and in the rest of the world cannot see that the violation was made, well, it's too bad for them, because they need to choose another. Business. Right now we have a violation. I was not aware of Resolution 2231, and United Nations reminded to us, and they said they're not taking, in other words, they're not taking the responsibility to indicate that it's a violation, because it remained to be seen. It means it's up to you guys. You decide what you want to do. That's politics, okay? We, in this world of politics, everything can go kosher or not. If you like it, if you want, if you decide it, if you want, you give this land to somebody, you give this land to somebody else, you take it away, you shrink it, you bring it, whatever you want. In the realm of politics, the world is theirs and it's kosher to do everything. So right now we have face on, like right in our face, a violation of the United Nations Resolution 2231. It's not even, you know, the 5+1 accord, because it was beautiful when they signed a deal with six nations. You know, it's just, how can you sign a world accord with six nations only? Who are those nations that decide the deal of the world? Look at them. Everything can be in shambles. France is going into election when Marie Le Pen, the incredible extremist, right wing extremist, is in play. Think about Italy. Italy just got dissolved, and they have a new, of course, new settled government, which was a good thing. We have Germany that Angela Merkel is actually in play with Martin Schulz that is running even in the poll. So, and we have in England the Brexit that they need to do, and sure enough, today they met with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. I don't know how good a term Israel is with England, that, you know, just witnessing the fact that that Mr. Theresa May did not welcome him at the door, which was odd, completely, you know, odd. So let's say that in this part of the justice, that's called what it's written, black and white, 2231 is a resolution that prohibit testing of any missile by Iran. Okay, if you guys included in the Iran deal or not, it doesn't matter. It's on the book, and she's in strict violation. Let's listen to what they have to say.
This is a Fox News alert on a show of defiance from Iran as it holds a massive military exercise. The drill coming just one day after President Trump slapped new sanctions on the country for a recent missile test. State media saying Tehran testing missile and radar systems as well as cyber warfare programs. Our John Huddy is live from our Middle East Bureau with more. John?
Right, and there's great concern about this because, as you mentioned, it comes just a day after the U.S. leveled those sanctions against Iran. And adding to just the overall concern, the rhetoric coming out of Iran's military, one Revolutionary Guard Brigadier General Kelly said that, that quote, any misstep from Iran's enemies will result in its missiles roaring down on their heads. Clearly, tough talk aimed at the U.S. and, of course, President Trump. Now, as you mentioned, Kelly, today Iran's Revolutionary Guard's aerospace unit tested its missile and radar systems, cyber warfare systems, and command and control centers, again, a day after the Trump administration imposed sanctions on Iran because of the ballistic missile test that was carried out on Sunday. And President Trump, as we know, tweeted Friday that Iran is playing with fire. Well, today, U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis said that Iran's conduct will have to be addressed. U.S. officials have indicated that more actions could follow. We don't have specifics, so we're waiting on that. But the secretary also said that Iran is the single biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the world. Still, he said that despite the recent tension with Iran, he doesn't think it warrants an increase in the number of U.S. forces in the Middle East. And Iran's foreign minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif, is trying to put a more diplomatic face on this, saying that his country will never initiate a war or use its weapons against anyone unless it's in self-defense. But other Iranian leaders are taking a more proactive tone. In fact, the senior Iranian cleric, Ayatollah Khatami, told his followers yesterday, quote, our missile drills are a show of might. We are living in a world of wolves, wolves such as the arrogant government of America. And then his followers, thousands of them, Kelly, chanted in unison, death to America. Kelly.
That's disturbing. John, thank you for that report.
Okay, so you see that there is a standoff with the Iranian government. It's not new. Iranian are doing always one for one. And if there is one person that I really respect, it's Uzi, where he is going to be the next segment, which explain the relationship of the Iranian with, you know, with the international world. Let's listen to it.
They're not behaving.
Today's sanctions really represent a very, very strong stand against the actions that Iran has been taking. I would never rule anything off the table.
This is truly reckless because this is a country that could start World War III.
I don't want a war with Iran, but they deserve to be sanctioned.
This is dicey, what he's doing, and I think he has to understand that words of a president, or for that matter, the tweets of a president, actually carry a lot of weight.
That's an important step. We've seen that done in the past, and where you have new players, you need to crack down on it.
Iran sanctions put in place by President Trump and the Trump administration. This as a U.S. Navy destroyer makes a move into the Red Sea, the USS Cole. A lot of people remember that name from the destroyer that came under attack off the coast of Yemen. This comes after a number of provocations by Iran, 16 actually, since signing the UN nuclear agreement in July 2015, at least 5 ballistic missile tests, 4 under President Obama, 1 under President Trump, 1 what's called highly provocative rocket test, 7 incidents of harassment with the U.S. military in the Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz, and those, of course, those fast boats confronting U.S. Navy vessels. Let's start here on foreign policy with the Trump administration and bring in our panel from Washington tonight. Steve Hayes, editor-in-chief of the Weekly Standard, Lisa Booth, columnist with the Washington Examiner, and Tim Farley, host and managing editor of Morning Briefing POTUS on Sirius XM Radio. Okay, Steve, this action by the administration, obviously these had been planned as an option under the Obama administration, but deployed under the Trump administration.
Well, and thank goodness, this is such a long time overdue. If you think back about the way that Iran has behaved over the past decade, whether you're talking about deliberately targeting and killing U.S. personnel in Iraq and Afghanistan, whether you're talking about funding a variety of terrorist groups, whether you're talking about providing what Osama bin Laden himself called the main artery for Al-Qaeda, whether you're talking about providing support for Palestinian terrorist groups, the provocations that you mentioned, any of a number of reasons that we can point to over the past decade that has allowed Iran to establish itself as the foremost state sponsor of terror in the world means that these actions are wildly overdue. When was the last time that you heard anybody stand at the White House podium, as General Flynn did the other day, and suggest that what Iran was doing was wrong? We just have heard that for 8 years, and it's long overdue. I'm glad that we had this kind of forceful statement. I think the Trump administration is exactly right to do this. And what's so shocking to me is that you would have objections from Democrats like Chris Murphy. I mean, it's hard to imagine having anybody have a problem with scolding the Iranian regime, given what we've seen the regime do in its hostility toward the United States over the past decade, really longer.
You know, Lisa, if you don't think that the Twitter, monitoring Twitter is important. Today, we read a lot of tweets because the president tweets. Today, there was international tweeting going on. President Trump tweeting, Iran is playing with fire. They don't appreciate how kind President Obama was to them. Not me. 20 minutes later, the Iran foreign minister tweets, Iran unmoved by threats as we derive security from our people. We'll never initiate war, but we can only rely on our own means of defense. And then we will never use our weapons against anyone except in self-defense. Let us see if any of those who complain can make the same statement. Pretty interesting back and forth.
Yeah, it is. And look, President Trump is in the infancy of his administration, so I think it's important for him to set the tone, particularly in regards to Iran. And look, anyone who thought that this theory that somehow Iran was going to temper their behavior because of the Iran deal has been completely dispelled by the provocations we've seen, as you spelled out earlier in the show, just this most recent testing of a ballistic missile, and not to mention the fact that just 2 weeks after implementation day of the deal, we saw the Iranians put our sailors on their knees and shoot it for propaganda purposes. And how did the United States respond to that? We responded by a $1.7 billion ransom, purchasing heavy water, having the Obama administration encouraging businesses to re-engage in the Iranian marketplace. So yeah, this is a big strong message that the Trump administration is sending. And as Steve pointed out earlier, I think it's one that is welcomed and needed.
Yeah, Tim, you know, the Democrats have said that they are going to fight and resist on a number of fronts. Take a listen to, and you heard Steve mention Senator Murphy. Here's also Senator Warner reacting to foreign policy Trump style.
I'm not sure what this he means by putting Iran on notice. Is this similar to the Obama red line in Syria? I don't know what that means, and none of us up here on the Hill have gotten any kind of assessment from the administration of putting them on notice. For somebody that ever...
All right. This is Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth, and the question was, what does it mean when Donald J. Trump, the president of the U.S., is putting Iran on notice. Now, if anybody learned Donald Trump behavior in the last year, I could understand that the guy is talking seriously about the stuff. He's not kidding, and it's not any kind of other administrator or president that doesn't have a hold water to it. We have a president that understands what it takes to be tough when being challenged. And I'm with him on this because what we have here, we have a very, very ragged regime that wants to control the Middle East. And what they did is they took over Iraq. They went into Iraq, guys. They went into Syria. They went into Lebanon. And they are all over the area. So it means that their power is expanding. Now, they couldn't have done it without the help of Russia. And that's where the Russia needs to come to play. You see, when Russia was complaining all the years that nobody gave her the right to be on the table as an even player, and a mighty player, let's say, an incredible, challenging player. It's not Russian is not an everyday player. He's one of the champions in the world right now, right? And we're respecting that. We don't undermine them at all because we need to understand that when you have a mighty opponent, you have to respect that. Now, when you want to come and play, you must have your hands clean. You cannot hold Iran, cover her, you know, back, and then ask the world to let you play. You have to let her go. It means that she is Iran right now. When she put her face out to the world to challenge us, you know, free and square, to challenge the leader of the free world or any kind of order, because that, you know, agreement with Iran was supposedly to order, to organize the world. It wasn't to start a fight. But they decide to define it. When they have the rules of engagement on the paper, on the table. So what they've been doing? They are launching missile to show them and said, in your face, we don't really care. Now, what we have to say? We put you on notice. What do you mean? When somebody tells... A real one, tell somebody else your notice, it means like, Jones, get your stuff together because here I'm coming. Now, sure enough, they come and they give them the sanction without any hesitation. And they kept on defining. It means that they want to aggravate the situation because there is some scope of work in play. From the Middle East, when I learn every time that they are trying to trigger you into a war or into battle, it means that something else is going on some other place. It means that they are trying to cover up for something, or there is a movement, or there is something they don't want really for you to see, so they distract you. That's the game. That's they're playing. It's no. You know, no news about that, but we have to pay attention to maybe this is what's going on. And sure enough, you know, the Arctic are in play because the Russian decided to put their carrier there, which is the most important one, And I know that there is a lot of ice-breaking boats there, and they're trying to shift their method of engaging. Okay, so let's put Russia back into the focus. Russia, you cover for Iran. Now, let's talk about Russia. There is a lot of opportunity to work. Russia is going to be the next growing market in the world. Russia is the business place of the world right now, as the World Bank Organization say. They indicated Russia and they indicated Brazil. So, you know, as a businesswoman and as Donald Trump is a businessman, they would know that Russia needs to be in good terms. Now, good terms means you need to let go of your, very stronghold on Iran, so we can work on kind of negotiating some new deals, some new arrangement, okay, or dismantling or actually inspecting the sites. But something else that I want to put into the play right now. You see, Russia is a tremendous player, and when she comes to play, she plays with a different set of rules. And yesterday was the Super Bowl, and there was the issue about the owner of the Patriot, I guess, that went into Russia to see Vladimir Putin and show him the other ring, not the one that he won yesterday, but the other ring. And Putin took it and never brought it back. Now, of course, from respect, nobody will ask him back. But, his name is not written on. So the owner of the Patriot said, let's amend it and let's get back the ring and give him a new one with Vladimir Putin on it. So he will have a Super Bowl ring from the owner of the team. That would be a nice exchange. You will have your own name on, Mr. Putin. And having said that, we have another situation, a similar situation, when the Minister of Agriculture visited with your foreign minister, I guess, or one of the ministers of Russia. They went to the Volcani Center of Agriculture and they showed them the drones that work on the agriculture area. And from there on there, Minister Ariel said, oh, we'll get you one of those. You know, this is a good gadget to have. And if anybody listening, drones for agriculture, it's the thing. And you can ask me, because we have great drones that in America right now that we are promoting big time. You can check them online. It's easy. Easy aerial drone or easy drones, and they are wonderful for agriculture because they can detect if the plant will water, if they get sick, if there is some kind of animals, anything. You know, you picture it, you have the thermostat on it. It's really useful. So the minister, rightly, the Russian minister, rightly so, thought, what a beautiful gadget. Let's have it. Now, it was the sample. You know, when you have a sample in the store, when you don't take the sample, you just show it, right? So that drone was for show, and the Russian actually did not understand it right and took that one without the remote. So now we have a drone given to the Russian, and we doesn't have a remote. So we need to replace it with the one with a remote, and we nobody knows how to do it. So I'm doing it through this because we have the ring. It means that we don't really understand always how they operate, and we want to make friends with everybody we can because we have enough enemy. I'm sorry, we have enough enemies. So if the Russians actually will help us give them what we want to give them, we want to give them drones with the remote and all the, you know, the diskettes or whatever they need to operate it and the teaching. So they can have their agriculture venture going. And from the American Patrick, that probably wants to have the ring back with, and they'll make a ring for Vladimir Putin. There you go. I did it. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, fine, I tried. All right, I did my share, God, you know that. Okay, so let's listen to the music and we'll be back after that. All right, we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth on BBS Radio Studio One with Doug Newsom. I wanted to you to listen to Uzi Rabin. He's a guy that understands about the Middle East. And before I was about to let you listen, and there you go. Now you can hear it. Let's listen.
And I think the top of it all is a long-expected strategic land attack cruise missile, which was anticipated since more than 10 years ago, since they stole about 20 of them. Soviet-made, Soviet-era KH-55 airborne strategic missile, 3,000-kilometer missile from the Ukraine, to repeat the story, when the Soviet Union broke up. Some of the strategic forces of the Soviet Union were marooned in Ukraine. There were strategic bombers and strategic nuclear-equipped cruise missiles, airborne cruise missiles. By the INF, they couldn't have land terrestrial-based cruise missiles, but they had the air-based cruise missile. And that one, that they had there about 500 of them called the KH-55. That's how it looks. And by agreement between Ukraine and Russia, they were all returned to Russia. For gas. However, about 20 of them or so found their way to North Korea, China, and Iran. Three people were indicted for that in Russia. All of them mysteriously died. And nobody knows anymore how it was done, but it was done. And obviously, from that point, it was obvious that this number of 20 is too small to use operationally, so it probably template for copying. And from that point on, I was predicting year after year the appearance of a 2,500-kilometer land attack cruise missile, which will look like the Soviet one. In 2012, the Iranians disclosed that they have a program like that, but didn't show a picture, and they call it Mishkat. They claim the range of 2,000 kilometers. I'll explain why this number is kind of a holy number. It makes political sense. The estimated range is about 2,500 kilometers. And obviously, it should have been patterned after the KH-55. And lo and behold, there it is, like a magician a few months ago. Here it is. But for some reason which I cannot explain, they love playing around with names. Now it's not called the Mishkat. It's called Sumur. Range was not announced, but here it is. And very quickly, I put it on the drawing board and compare it to the KH-55. You can see the KH-55. Here is a shot of the Sumur. It's a spitting image. Obviously, this is not a Chinese copy. It's an Iranian copy, probably with a different engine. They have jet engines, perhaps from China, small jet engines. Small jet engines is a very clever thing to do. It's very tricky. You have only one company in the United States that specializes with it. It's Williams Research. And they may have bought a French design and upgraded it. But anyway, it's the same missile, same length, same diameter. You see the wing is exactly in the same place. The engine is in the same place, except that this is land-based. It takes off from the land. From land, we'll see a short video here, if it will work, of its takeoff.
According to Iran's defense,
this is Iranian TV.
And navigation, propulsion, and structure.
The wings pop out when it goes out of the canister. They pop out
by relying on its high technical capabilities, long survival over the battlefield, and radar evading properties.
So this is an achievement. This is a major technical achievement. It's not copying. It's not. It's even more difficult than designing a new one to do a good Chinese copy. So again, I take my hat off for the guys who did it technically. And you can see the Russian influence here. Since it's a ground-based missile, they copied an air-based missile. It's just never a booster. It drops from an aircraft. So they needed to design a booster. And here is their design booster, and here is a Russian booster on the Russian Club missile. The missile is different, but look at the booster, rocket motor, and look at the booster here. Well, it's not the same design, but you can see the Russian-style fingerprint of engineering here. Well, what is the...
All right, we're back. Well, what Uzi Rabin was talking, he was talking about the Iranian missile called Sumar now. It's a incarnation of a different missile that actually can carry a nuclear weapon, and it's they said that it test firing a medium range ballistic missile on Sunday, the German comment on this, and they talking about the Sumar cruise missile was built in Iran to traveled 600 kilometer, and it's its first successful test. The missile is believed to be capable of carrying nuclear weapon and may have range of 2,000 or 3,000 kilometer, the paper said, and citing intelligence sources. The only thing that we need to understand how fast it goes, because if we have something that we need to discover is that when they go slow, we can detect them in time and derail them. If not, we have a problem. So you guys have it in your midst to do it. You need to think about it. The world is not safer today, as we say. The state of the union, of the global union, is not real good. But we found out that we have new friends and new allies, and we might change. You know, the cards shifting. Friends of yesterday may be... not so friendly today, but you might have, you know, the enemy of yesterday becoming your best friends today. So please keep your mind open, keep your heart open, and just remember there is a God and it's not us. And we pray for him to help us go and see through all this smoke and all those incredible minutes of challenges that we have. Please be careful, be safe, and keep sober, keep light, keep in shape. You know, be on your incredible best now. There is no time to think about how we're going to be doing anything. You need to be all in check. After that, you can be ready for any challenge that you will meet, okay? And at any given time. And if you want some preparation, go to Tony Robbins, is the best. I think that we're done today. I want to wish you all the best. And if it's replied on Wednesday, I wish you, you know, all the best then too. God bless you. Be well. Goodbye. Ciao, ciao.